For June the 10th, 2022, we talk about SnowRunner, Diablo Immortal, Open Sorcery, and much more. Welcome to Level 417. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Jella Prendes.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome back, Jella.
Thank you.
Yeah. What's going on?
Oh, a couple of things. One, my sunflower is now taller than my house.
Than your house or than your office? Than your house. I was unclear based on the photo that you posted. Yeah, no, it is going to smother you all. It's taking your nutrients.
No, it is currently deciding that it's going to sprout so many different little heads, and then it's going to feed us all with all of the sunflower seeds.
Ooh.
And that's fine. So
you're gonna hand toast them? Do it like that, or
they will toast outside on their own. It's supposed to be 100 degrees this weekend, just air temperature before you add in the humidity. So,
gotcha.
So they're gonna, yeah, they will just toast on their own. We don't have to do anything.
Yeah. So, nice.
So that's one thing. The other thing is I got engaged.
Whoa!
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats.
That's weird that's the second one you say. But
well, you see, here's why. Because I wrote my notes for this show because I was supposed to be on a while back, and I wrote the notes. And then between the time that I wrote the notes and the time that I actually appeared on the show, because there was a break in there where we didn't have a show, I got engaged. So that's why that's the second thing.
Well, congratulations.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Your adherence to form is amazing.
I'm nothing if not consistent.
Was there a story around the proposal, or was it like a low-key thing?
I don't know. Do tell. Okay. Well, I actually proposed to Dave last year. I did it first, so there. But then we didn't want to like announce it properly because I haven't been able to go see his family, and he was like, I kind of think you need to meet my family before we get married.
Probably.
So, you know, but COVID, so makes it hard.
Yeah.
And so for a long time, we were just like, okay, we're secretly engaged. This feels so weird. Like, okay, whatever. And then eventually he just kind of, my dad, even, we were just doing yard work one day, and my dad just turns and blurts out, "Are you guys thinking about getting married?" Okay, unceremoniously dumped on us while we're dripping sweat and doing yard work. Okay. And it's like, yes. Well, why aren't you? Because I need to meet his family. And my dad just didn't, you know, he was just like, that's nonsense, whatever. And I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but then Dave eventually just got tired of waiting for an opportune time for me to go see his family because COVID continues to exist and it's not getting, you know, super better.
Yeah.
So, and so he just proposed right back to me. So now that it's even and we both proposed to each other independently, now we can go forward and actually do the thing. Nice. And we are planning on going to see his family. We already have all of that figured out as well. So hopefully that works out to where we are able to go safely and come home safely because my parents remain immunocompromised. So it is always a concern.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
Must have been nice for Dave. Pressure's completely off. You know they're going to say yes if they've already proposed to you.
Right. So I guess I could have thrown him a curveball or something. That's not really my style. I don't make jokes like that or play pranks. So
yeah, a little serious.
Wise. Yeah.
So
well, congrats! Congratulations!
Thank you.
Yeah.
How is everybody else
doing? Yeah, who can top that story?
No. Have you guys set a date or are you just like...
Oh, well, we were wanting to do it on our anniversary of, like, our dating anniversary next January. But Then when I looked it up on the calendar, it's Martin Luther King Day. Happens to be Martin Luther King Day. So like that means that like we can do something, but like, you know, we can't like go get the license and all of that on that day. So I don't know. I haven't looked at all of the stuff. Basically, what we're going to do is kind of do a repeat of the first time that we met face to face, where basically he had come to Houston and then we were going to go to PAX South. And because I'm Jala, I took him all over the place and we went to Fredericksburg to the winery and we went to Austin and we were just like touring Texas, basically. And so we were talking about going over to San Antonio and like getting married there, just very simple thing away from the house and everything, because with my parents being in the physical state they are in, they would feel very guilty if we did it here in town and they couldn't help or do anything or physically even really attend, because it's very hard for them to get around. And you know, they got breathing problems, COVID, you name it. So we were just going to go out of town, go do the thing, very simple, and then just basically roll that right into a honeymoon, have some friends, you know, come and just all hang out in Fredericksburg at the winery and then swing by Austin on the way back home and just basically do the same trip that we did that first time, but this time like a victory lap.
Nice.
So
very cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. I don't know that any of us can top it, so one of us is just going to have to go. I got nothing.
You got Greta and Dottie.
Oh, no, I don't mean to say I have nothing. No,
I know that, but I'm just saying you always have a Greta or a Dottie story, or both. Oh,
Greta, so I got a big fancy bed for them to sleep on in the living room. And I caught Greta peeing on it today. So,
oh, no.
Yeah. And I was like, she's not quite sitting down. She's not quite standing. What's she doing? And then I went over and inspected it. And I was like, oh, well, I got to wash this and then probably never put it out again.
Yeah, I was going to say, does that mean that she likes it or that she hates it? She's so comfortable that she can just relieve herself right there? Or is this a, no, I hate it?
I don't know if it's a territorial thing or whatnot. Like, they never use it. I've left it out because, you know, it just sometimes it takes an animal a while to figure out, like, okay, this thing is good, this thing is safe. So, yeah, no idea. No idea why she decided to do that, but then again, that is animals. That is animals. So, but no, that's literally all I've got. I've been so busy with administrative stuff mostly that I've mostly been just kind of kicking it around the house and trying to keep up with assignment play, which I am failing at doing. So
I understand the feeling. I have my own little assignment play, as you know. Yes. And I'm like, oh, I have been very busy. This is hard.
That's negotiable too. We can talk about that one. But
yeah.
No. But yeah, that's all that's going on. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing too crazy other than cats.
Word.
Yeah.
Cats are always crazy.
Yeah. Ben, because you said word, I'm going to go to you next.
I had a low-key weekend because I forgot what I did over the weekend. but I remember now. I had to jog my memory.
Either had a low-key weekend or you had like the
best weekend. Yeah.
No, it was not that. I played a new board game with some online friends back in Texas. It was a game called Carnegie, which is an actual game, but they have a version of it on Board Game Arena online. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun. I had it was a fun mix of game mechanics and theme. You make a company, and then like the meta narrative is eventually you have like too many resources and money, so you start donating them for victory points in the game. And so it's just like weird commentary on these like old tycoons who maybe wrecked the country in some ways. But
you say that in past tense.
Yeah. I mean, they were oil barons. We have different barons today.
True.
And oil barons, so, you know, both.
Oh, you know, yeah. Everybody plays this club cranium. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. How about you, Dennis?
I'm just in con prep, so I leave tomorrow. And if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, I am at Origins Game Fair and would love to see anyone who is there as well. Yeah. So I'm actually surprisingly low stress. Like everything has kind of come together for it correctly and got everything I needed on time. There haven't been any last minute surprises, which either means I did it right or I'm missing something that I've yet to find. So we'll see.
This isn't the first time you've tabled at a con.
Yes and no. So my fun story is that I went to the Starbucks across from Gen Con with the original prototype.
Yes.
Of Deck of Wonders. So I wasn't actually in the con. I was just where everyone was waiting in line for their drinks at the con, which meant people had a lot of spare time and I kind of had a free audience, and that worked out really well. But I, for Deck of Wonders, I did, audio with Foreteller, which is really cool. They like narrate all the story that you would otherwise be reading and do a full audio production. Super cool. And they invited me to be at their booth. So I am now,
awesome.
Yeah. Hanging out with them and, I'm really excited. Everyone is dressing up. They're kind of like a box of props for you to wear at the tables and everything. So it's sounding like it'll be a real good time.
Nice.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been so long since I've done a con. I'm gonna have to get my sea legs back under me. I'll be really curious to hear how it goes. Sharing a booth is always so much nicer.
Yes, and 100%.
When we have like buddied with Retronauts in the past, we always have a handful of people, you know, out in Portland, people like Nick or Brayton come by and help, but like knowing that you are not just tied to the booth the entire time is a real. I don't know, maybe that's my own personal anxieties about being trapped places, but
no, I feel you. And one of the nicest things is there's going to be another game creator there that we'll be able to rotate back and forth with. I haven't heard who it is. They just said that there'll be someone else there as well. So I'll be free to go and wander around the con at certain points and not feel like I'm leaving them in the lurch, which is really cool.
Nice. Yeah. Where is, so I know it's in Columbus, but where in Columbus is the con at?
Oh God, you're going to get to things that I look up on Google right before.
It's probably the convention center downtown, right?
Yeah. Possibly. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is, and I did this last week too. I forgot the booth. So we are in booth 637 in Exhibit Hall A.
Okay.
So cool. Yeah. I'll be blasting it out in the socials and everything. So you'll be able to find me.
Cool.
It'll be interesting to see what it's like during the pandemic too. I guess everyone just masked up, and for the people who cosplay, it's not that big of a deal, right?
So. Yeah. So masks are mandatory right now, just with the way things are spiking. And I think it's the same way at Gen Con as well.
Yeah.
As of this moment. So that's nice to see. There's at least that consideration. Mm-hmm. As I don't think I've seen a mask in public for entirely too long.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. It'll be a good time.
If you ever come to Houston, you will find two humans wearing masks, and that'll be me and my guy.
Yeah,
yeah, you got to say fiance now. Say it.
That guy.
My fiance.
The person to whom you're affianced.
Yeah, that guy over there.
Betrothed. Any number of we can keep doing this all day.
Mm-hmm. But
could we? We cannot, because maybe several someones need to sleep at some juncture.
Yeah, maybe. And because some of us need to sleep, maybe we need to do the regular kind of show, what with the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss. And why don't we get started with
the grind.
The grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Jala, gonna go to you because you've been away the longest.
So I would say that it's not some. I would say everybody needs to sleep.
Yeah.
All right, anyway. So Fire Emblem Echoes. I finished the game proper. I finished that final battle that I wiped a couple of times on the last time I was on. There is the end game dungeon, and I played some of it, but there's like 10 levels or something of it, and I'm like, I don't know that I'm very emotionally attached to finishing the end game bonus dungeon, and that might just be like where I end on that. I have not picked it up again since, because it's not like I dislike the game. I enjoyed it quite a bit, and I have been enjoying the soundtrack, which I downloaded. So, and I like all the characters just fine, but I think I'm done with that. I want to set it down and play something else. So I have been.
Yeah. Oh, you know, the thing we sometimes talk about, the difference between being done with a game, finishing it, and completing it.
Yeah, and yeah. I did all of the DLC already. I had finished all of the side stories and things like that. So it's just like the top tier. So you have to super grind to get to that part to unlock whatever in the DLC that I didn't do. And then like the rest of the end game dungeon. Who knows? Maybe I'll pick that up in a few months and be like, I really want to go finish that and then jump back in. It's not unheard of for me. So the next thing that I played was Open Sorcery Jingle Bells. So I talked about Open Sorcery.
You say
Sorcery
that
before.
Like there's a pun in Jingle Bells. Did I just miss it?
It's something having to do with C++. It's the name of the entity that you play. You are an elemental firewall called Bells, BEL/S. And you are, that means that you are a fire elemental merged with a security network via C++ code. So you are part program and part fire elemental. And your duty is to protect the network from invasion. So, and that's like the original Open Sorcery game is this Twine game that was created by Abigail Korfman. And it is very, very fun. I talked about it on the level. I don't know when. I will not even attempt to tell you when. Sometime a long time ago. But maybe like a year after it first came out. The Jingle Bells is DLC for said game. And I didn't realize that there was a DLC until I was trying to remember the name of the game. And then was like, furiously Googling, found it and was like, oh, hey, there's more. Cool. So
it was episode number, 244. So this was around this time in 2018. Cole, Ben, Jala, and David talk about Cultus Simulator, the Fallout 76 reveal, and we ask for your E3 predictions, real and fake. You also talked about Blood Drive. My yes. name is Mayo.
Oh yeah. Yes, I and... was ironically, yeah. My name is Mayo. I was talking about that clicker game the other day, and I was like, remember that one time I played a clicker and it was terrible, and it was like the worst iteration of a clicker anybody could have picked, and that was the one that I played.
Of course.
Well, yeah, because like I don't ever pick like the standard issue thing. I always pick the weird one, so you know.
Oh. As evidenced by your fiance.
No, he's absolutely like the best and the sweetest. And he is so normal when you talk to him like every other human being.
What's the present line? She is completely ordinary in the best way possible.
No, he's very, very goofy, but you'll never catch him being goofy talking to anybody else except for people he's known for a while. So he's very serious and he has like this super dour face in most photos, except when I'm involved. And then he makes weird faces at the camera because I make weird faces at him all the time. So
I was going to say, we have a lot of Daves that orbit the show. So I'd say it's a crapshoot on who's the weirdest.
This is true. There's Dave is Legion. There's lots of them. So anyway, talking about Open Sorcery. So the DLC Jingle Bells is pretty obviously by the name a Christmas or holiday themed DLC wherein Bells is celebrating her first holiday season as a sentient being, because in the original game you can gain sentience and, you know, an independence and stuff like that. So either way, it contains the same mechanics as the main game. You patrol your network to ensure that it remains secure, pinpointing any potential threats by using clues in your general observation, and then seeking the matter and the motive of any invasive life forms that you find. Matter is what the creature is made of, such as fire, like you. You are a firewall. You are made of fire, air, light, or whatever. Motive is, of course, the driving force. Fear, life, death, whatever, like whatever the intent of the creature is. Mm-hmm. And only when you accurately scan for the creature with the correct matter and motive will you locate it and be able to interact with it. So you can bork that and completely, you know, mess up that part.
Yeah.
Not all of the invasive creatures that you find are there with malicious intent. Some of them, especially in this particular game, are there to spread love, and others are protecting the world from consumerism and stress of fake holiday cheer. And I'm not kidding. That's a thing. It's very good. And aside from protecting your network and operators, you also learn about different winter holiday traditions and seek out the perfect gifts for the people in your network through a combination of interactions with your dreams, because now that you're sentient, when you turn off at night, you dream, but also the miscellaneous visiting beings that you talk to and trade with and so forth. And it's neat because it doesn't just show like here's Christmas. It also has Hanukkah, and it also has Yule, Wicca, Yule, and things like that. And so they show a bunch of different things that all of the different operators, engage with during that season. So it's real cute, real sweet, real short because it's a DLC. So I had a good time playing it, and it just made me want to go back and play the main game again, because it's been long enough since I played it that I'm not going to remember all the ins and out of the game, and I can go back and enjoy it fully and be excited about that.
Yeah.
But instead of playing that game again, I played a different game by Abigail Korfman.
Okay. So, which one?
She's done several different short games, and several of those are on her website. She actually made a new open sorcery game called C++, but like S-E-A.
Like
C++.
An ocean.
C++.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so that one is on my wish list, or maybe I bought it and it's in my backlog now. I don't remember which of those is actually true, but if it's not in my backlog yet, it will be there whenever it goes on sale. So, but what I played was 16 Ways to Kill a Vampire at McDonald's. So you play Lucy, a vampire hunter on her night off, who walks into a McDonald's and finds a vampire. Of course, you need to find a way to slay it. So you that's just the scenario. So you just drop in the middle of this situation. You are at the McDonald's. There is a vampire in a booth. There is the lady behind the counter who is the intended victim. And then there is you. And that's it. And then you are looking around the McDonald's. You can go and go in the bathroom and steal paper towels, or you pick up some straws or do whatever. You're trying to find different methods by which you can possibly eradicate or drive off this vampire to save the day. The first way I managed to kill it was by recruiting a homeless woman handing out religious pamphlets to come in and melt him with her faith after trapping him in the building with a holly wreath that I found in a dumpster. The second way I managed to kill it was with a UV air sanitizer I moved from the bathroom, since UV in this story is part of the sunlight that actually kills a vampire.
Oh.
The third way I managed to kill it was by eating a bunch of garlic, getting in close and letting him drink my blood, and it poisoned him to death.
What in McDonald's has garlic in it?
In this fictitious McDonald's, there's garlic Parmesan fries or something.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, and so on like that. I went through and I killed it several different ways. I didn't get all 16, but I had fun with the game. And then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to sit here and just click on stuff to see what happens. It's fine. I've gotten 8 or 10 of these. That's enough. I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
The writing is very, very amusing and very dry humor. Mm-hmm. And I like that quite a bit. So I've enjoyed it quite a bit. There's still some other games on her website that I want to go and take a look at, probably before I play the other open sorcery game, mostly because I know the other open sorcery game will be a longer experience. And if I can get these little short, sweet bites and, play a little something and be entertained for a little bit, sounds good to me.
Yeah. So. No, obviously the barrier to entry on making a Twine game is relatively low, which is one thing that makes it really good, like as a platform. But also, like, I'm sure there's plenty of bad stuff. However, the stuff that bubbles up for me, things like, Terror Aboard the Speedwell, or My Father's Long, Long Legs, any of these that we've talked about before, like, man, people are doing really cool stuff in that space, like more intricate than you would imagine. Oh, Depression Quest, another one. Yeah. And this sounds fun. It sounds really similar to Don't Shit Your Pants. Actually,
I was thinking of that. Yeah.
A game I really enjoy.
Yeah, it's really neat. And she's just got several different titles on her website, just abigailkorfman.com. So worth a look if you are interested in Twine games, or if you played Open Sorcery and really liked that. I would recommend everyone play Open Sorcery. It's like $4 on Steam. It's very good.
Nice. Fantastic. Well, I like hearing about little ones like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have anything else?
I played some Contradiction. Ooh. I can talk about it if you want.
I
played some. Okay.
Yeah. No.
It's a 2015 FMV murder mystery adventure by Tim Fallon and Baggy Cat. So Jenks the detective has strong D-Money vibes.
What,
he's not here.
Uh-oh.
It doesn't. It D-Money Smith.
Gotcha.
D-Money.
Okay.
I've never heard him referred to as that.
I've been calling him D-Money for a while because when I say Dave, he'll be like, huh? And I'm like, no, not you. The other one.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
So I just call him D-Money.
Yeah.
So okay. Anyway, also, this actually, it came up, Contradiction came up, because I was talking about how I'm going to have Diavecchi Studios on Jalachan's Place, my podcast, to just talk about their most recent game that they're working on right now, Murderous Muses, as well as the other games that they have made. And one of those is The Shapeshifting Detective. And somebody was like, oh, didn't they make Contradiction? And it's like, no, that was a different set of people. But then there was some confusion. They're like, wait, but isn't Shapeshifting Detective a spiritual successor, you know, from Contradiction? And actually, the guy, Rupert Booth, who plays Jenks, is also Chief DuPont in The Shapeshifting Detective. So there is some cross DNA. He does play a chief of police in that. And there are some elements that, now that I played a little bit of Contradiction, I can see, you know, what they're talking about with the cross DNA going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But in Contradiction, you are sent to a small town to investigate the death of a young woman who initially seems to have committed suicide, but some of the evidence seems to point to an alternative theory. You are there to figure out what happened. And as usual with any game set in a small town, there is a bigger plot to uncover, and the whole town has secrets. Yeah. So
this game rules. like, it is a simpler, more bite-sized Phoenix Wright game, but it is a very, very charming FMV, and I want to buy a house in the town where this takes place, murders and all. I can deal with that.
Yeah, so far in the game, I have talked to various individuals. I have completely just stolen a bunch of people's stuff. I have broken into various buildings. Like, that seems to be Jenks' MO. And,
you know, all the wholesome stuff.
Yeah, and I got so eye-rolly when there was a mask that had a triple moon on the forehead, and it's supposed to be like, ooh, spooky times. It's like, oh, God. You guys already know, like, I just get eye-rolly whenever I see people misappropriating symbols, and it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. But, like, oh, it just makes my eyes roll so far back into my head. But anyhow, I will say that the Steam port of this is tearing real bad for me. And I actually had to, like, when I first opened it up, I had to close it and then reopen it again to get it to be able to push the button to play the game.
Oh, weird.
So, and other people said that they didn't have this problem previously when they played it, but I don't know if that's because I was playing it on my Surface, which has like Windows 11 on it, or, you know, like maybe it's because I have a newer version of Windows. I'm not sure, but it is pretty jank. So, I played, I don't know, a couple hours or so so far, but it was funny because I was, at first I didn't realize that Rupert Booth was the same person who played Chief DuPont and the shape-shifting detective. So I was like, I know this guy from somewhere, and I couldn't remember where I'd seen him. And I was like, wait a minute. Is he in that? Oh, he is. And I Googled it and was like, oh, okay.
Hello, friend.
I did find out that the developer, Baggy Cat, also has another game, At Dead of Night. It's a horror game set in an old hotel on a remote headland, and it came out in 2020. And I was like, oh, it's a full motion, I guess, I don't know, some kind of a horror game. So, Cole, there's something for you to look at for possibly a hex crank in the future, I guess.
What was this called?
At Dead of Night.
At Dead of Night.
Uh-huh.
That's At Dead of Night on Twitter.
Okay.
So.
Huh. Very cool. No, I hope that you get the technical problems worked out, because that is a neat one to my to my recollection.
I have Windows 10 on my actual desktop PC, so if need be, I can try it on here and see if it works any different, and if it's still messing up, I don't know. I could get it in on another platform or something, but we'll see. It just kind of depends upon how bad it is and how pervasive it is.
Right.
So I've been enjoying it so far, and definitely when you said Phoenix Wright, I'm like, yeah, because you're literally, the name of the game is finding contradictions in witness testimonies, and that's what you're doing. So
yeah, cool.
You're not interviewing any porpoises or anything, at least not so far.
Well, I mean, can it even be called a detective game at that point? So very cool. Was that all you had?
That's all I got.
Nice. Dennis, I want to hear from you.
Yeah, I got some good stuff. First off, I've continued to play Roller Champions and have really been enjoying the game. So it's that interesting thing where, you know, it's a very multiplayer-centric game, and it just launched. And I think the game has gotten better as the players have gotten better, if that makes sense.
So the meta is evolving.
Yeah, well, just, you know, the first week it was out, no one knew what the hell they were doing. Everyone is everywhere. There's just, you see a whole bunch of random crap in games and can't count on anybody for anything. And that can just be very frustrating, especially in a game that's designed around team coordination. It was just a bit of a zoo. So, you know, it feels like things are starting to settle down a bit, and I am more regularly queuing into games where my teammates seem to, you know where to be, at least roughly seem to, you know, you can kind of feel like everyone's got the flow of things a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And that has made the game feel way better, even though, you know, my opponents are the same way. They're more organized. But it now feels like, you know, really playing a sport versus just kind of derping around and everyone knocking each other over. And I guess we've gone from bumblebee soccer with little kids to, you know, like high school level soccer.
Oh yeah,
we can actually follow what's going on. So that's a lot of fun. The game continues to be a real fun blend of roller derby and basketball, and I appreciate the uniqueness of it. However, there is one big thing I've got to complain about on the skin front. So I log in, I look at the store from time to time to see what they're featuring. It's like a Fortnite style system where they have a rotating inventory. And one of the skins is called Ready for Combat. And it has your player wearing body armor and just bandoliers of high caliber ammunition.
Okay.
Which I saw, you know, this game launched right in the wake of, you can't name one mass shooting, but in the wake of mass shootings.
There were 12 over the weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Just hitting an absolute breakneck, insane out of controlness. And I saw this, I'm like, what? Like, it was just jarring to see in this game. And I was like, Like, I play shooters. I see violent stuff in games all the time. Why did this feel weird? And I realized, like, Roller Champions kind of couches, or its world, its theme is like it's a real world sport. So, you know, all of these are stadiums filled with people, like you would see in Rocket League. You hear the cheering while you play. They're all in actual cities, and you see people in the stands. And you know, that's a fun way to set up the game. Just like, hey, let's just all act like this is real. But that makes the idea that someone would roll up, you know, strapped with ammo, just that much more jarring. It felt weird, felt wrong. So I felt weird about that. I put in a little thing to Ubisoft support, not that it's going to go anywhere, being like, hey, this feels bad.
Yeah.
And got a response of like, yeah, we've notified the right teams. Thanks for bringing it to our attention.
Cool.
Logged in the next day, and it was the featured item in the store.
God damn it. Come on.
We're getting so much feedback on this. We should feature it.
Hey, man. Yeah. So no.
It has to be just like they put things on rotation. I'm sure there's like an algorithm that plans it in advance. You know. But man, that stuck in my craw in a way that surprised me. I hope that is not a skin that sticks around.
Yeah, I mean, just it's kind of seems like the kind of game you would come to if you didn't want the gun stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, like it very much. It's interesting. Like high school esports is becoming more and more of a thing, but high schools are not going to have violent games as their esports. So it's stuck to a lot of like Rocket League is huge. You know, sports sim games are huge, and you see this in like Knockout City came out, and now Roller Champions came out. So there's a whole realm of these kinds of multiplayer games that are specifically, I think, engineered with in the back of people's minds with, hey, this could be a high school esport that feeds into, you know, a larger esports thing. So, it just, and like no other skin in the game is like that. There's not like, I can't even think of a skin that's got like a samurai sword or anything like that. Like there's a glove that has spikes on it, but it's like goth spikes, you know?
Yeah.
Just stuck out as really tone deaf and out of character with the rest of the game. So,
you know, people say like, oh yes, you're just being oversensitive or you're too sensitive. Like if you take the judgment away from that, what that actually means is like, oh yeah, like that sticks out. Like I noticed that, like you don't have to, people say, oh, you're sensitive. Like you're a walking raw nerve or what have you, but it's like, no, you're sensitized to it. So like, I don't even know where I was going with that. Go ahead, Ben.
Can I make a minor tangent? Stranger Things came out, I think, the last week or two, and like the first episode, they have like apology at the beginning of it, like, "Hey, sorry, there's like scenes that feature like dead kids in this, and like, sorry that we're showing this or whatever." And it's like it makes me think of the dialogue in Fight Club where he's talking about recalling cars, and it's like the company has to make a monetary decision, like, is this worth like our business or whatever? And it's just this like very like cold calculus where you can see like, they know what they're doing isn't 100% right, but then they like they have this like financial motivation that goes against that, and it's
gross. do we delay the season because of this event?
And that's the thing, is they have the season in two parts because the last two episodes aren't even done, which they're releasing like a month from now, so it like would have been even more cohesive if they released it a month from now.
Weird. I wouldn't want to be in a position to make those kind of decisions, but it's pretty, I don't know. I also would have noticed that would have stuck out, especially if it was the freaking featured item.
Which, it's bad timing, and I doubt anyone is in there with malicious intent, but it's like, there's a responsibility to read the room on this stuff. So that was the thought that sparked. Still enjoying the game.
Even just change the stuff in the bandoliers, make it like nerf darts.
Yeah, you know, nerf darts. That'd be right in character. That's like, you know, that's the vibe of the game.
Or just cut one skin. Like I imagine they have like dozens of skins, right?
Yeah. Well, I wonder also, and again, not like I could be the only one who said anything about this and it's just not on their radar. Mm-hmm. But to the cold calculus thing, I wonder if there's an element of like, okay, if we pull the skin and do an apology and make an announcement that will put a laser focus on the fact that it was in the game. It's like deleting a tweet that people don't like.
It's the Streisand effect. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder if it's just like, all right, it's out there. It's in the era, you know, the outrage has been slow enough to not have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Which again, outrage is generous. It was just like a, you know, come on, man, be classy.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Roller Champions, another game that makes me feel like, oh, come on, man, be classy, is Diablo Immortal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I saw a figure. It takes $110,000 to completely level up a character in that?
Absolutely
or
insane. Or to get all the highest level gear. I was not at all interested in playing it, but I had some friends who invited me along, and it's like, all right, I'm going to prioritize the friendship over like using it as a cudgel and whatever. And you know, I read all the crap about how microtransactions get really egregious, but I played it and it feels to me like there's a tale of two games going on. Like first off, it's a very polished game. It's got the Diablo vibe that you know and love. It's just fun to run around and murder hordes of skeletons or you know, ghosts or whatever. And through, you know, through the extent I've played and from what I've read through level 60, it is a perfectly good experience and a great showcase for, you know, what a mobile game can do. The fact that it's kind of got the MMO bent, that the world is just populated with other players, works really well. Like you can always be in a party if you want to. And even the game will make a suggestion. Like it'll say like, so-and-so is in the same area and working on the same objective. Would you like to party?
Yeah.
And it's nice to just be like, tap a button and you don't have to be talking. You don't like the game isn't difficult enough that you really need to coordinate in a meaningful way, but it's just fun to be romping around with someone. Yeah. And that works really, really well.
It's good to have good to have company.
Yeah. I rolled a classic barbarian and I got to do lots of cool barbarian things, you know, like you dive into a group of enemies and just, you know, lay the smack down on them. You turn into a whirlwind of death. It's a lot of fun. And, I've only played Diablo 3 by way of comparison, but I understand it, you know, it's got a little bit more of an action-y feel, to it, which is in line with Diablo 3 versus earlier games. And that's very at home in mobile. The dungeons, even like the challenge dungeons, are designed around a mobile time. So you can beat most dungeons in 5 minutes-ish. And so it feels like they're cognizant of all the right things for a mobile player, again, up through level 60.
And they think by that point you're invested enough that you can start start asking. Yeah.
Every free-to-play game has the point where they decide you might be a whale. It's worth, like, your value to us now is just trying to make you a whale. And that apparently comes with the game's legendary gear and legendary gems for that gear. But basically it's a gacha system for getting new gear, which is horrible because they said, you know, no one will be able to buy better gear when they talked about this game. And that's true. You can't directly buy better gear, but you sure as hell can throw money at something to get, you know, the better gear.
Right.
Or a chance at the better gear, I guess. So, you know, there's a pity timer at 50, loot boxes. I don't even know what they're called, where you will get a legendary item. Otherwise you're just kind of at the mercy of the gods. And when that item drops, then there's another thing for how many stars it is. And so it's like a, you know, 1% chance to get a legendary item and then a 0.05% chance within that 1% chance that it is a 5-star legendary item. Those numbers are approximate. I think it equals out that the chance of getting a 5-star legendary item is 0.05%, which is just egregious when they're pretty stingy with these legendary loot drops. We're talking like 3 a month, I think, you can get for free.
Ooh,
it's
that's
just
no way to level a character.
Insane. Well, yeah, and at that point you're at the level cap, at least for now, and you're trying to make yourself better through gear, and every little advantage helps, especially like it has a PvP component, so people are going to get competitive, people are going to spend that money. Like you said, I think the amount to get the guaranteed best gear, leveraging the pity timer and everything, is over $100,000 by a sizable margin.
Yeah,
which is just insane. And so it's like, I've enjoyed the time I've spent with Diablo Immortal, and it's fun to romp around with friends and do cool barbarian things. But I also know that at the back end of this, like, I'm not going to have a trouble putting it away. That's, you know, I could care less.
And yeah, you're a responsible adult. You can control your behavior. Yeah.
But this game is depending on people not being able to do that, or at least specifically the end game is, and that feels weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Diablo Immortal for you.
Yeah.
That's like the weird thing about that game design in general is, like, instead of everyone paying like $60, it's like, no, we're going to prey upon the people with gambling addictions or have too much money.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And I mean, you know, ultimately anyone who's not paying is paying with their time or serving as content for the people who do pay.
Yeah.
You know, it's network effects kind of thing. Just, it feels ooky. And so, you know, my moment to moment has been great. I've never felt pressured to pay so far. And you know, my experience has been good to date. It always feels weird doing this thing, knowing that the logical conclusion of it is unhealthy.
Yeah.
So, play at your own risk. You will enjoy playing at least for the first 35 levels, which is where I'm at.
Man, that's two games with two really big grains of salt.
Yes.
Okay. I, to keep things in proportion or in perspective, the grain of salt on Diablo Immortal is bigger, slightly bigger.
Yeah, that's
but,
fair.
You know, or at least, yeah.
I'm going to talk next about a game where I want as many grains of salt as possible.
Cooks are delicious?
No. this is completely out of left field. I did not, this game was not on my radar, but I was feeling like a driving game, but I didn't want something intense. I'm like, I want to drive, but I don't feel like racing. Like I just wanted to kind of zen out. And the first thing that popped up that looked like that was a truck driving sim called SnowRunner.
People have been saying, Cole, you need to play and stream SnowRunner. I'm curious to hear about this.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. The game is amazing, but it's like, it is a driving game that is fun for all the reasons puzzle games are fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds really good.
Cole started salivating.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, this is on Game Pass. So I checked it out, and the idea is that, at least so far, I've been driving around Michigan and Alaska. It's post flood Michigan. So there's a big flood that has like wiped out a bunch of roads and, you know, made everything muddy and undrivable. And then Alaska is Alaska. So, you know, that's tough driving as well. And you're just romping around there in a truck, helping repair, damage. So you know, the main things you're doing is like delivering supplies, you're rescuing stranded vehicles or like exploring remote checkpoints. And it's a very open world game where you just kind of drive around and see how you can help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I wanted in a Zen driving experience. It is also just like a really interesting, like I said, I describe it as a puzzle game almost, because, you know, significant portions of this game are extremely muddy terrain, or snow, or covered in ice, or all kinds of undrivable conditions. And so getting a gigantic truck through these passes takes a lot of slow, meticulous consideration. And you know, you're using the low gear setting on your truck a bunch, which I've never used that in real life, but I've always seen it. So here it takes center stage. Or significantly, there's a winch that you can attach to surrounding trees or telephone poles. If you want to feel big and powerful, if the tree is smaller, you will rip it out of the ground instead of pulling your truck forward. So it's like, hell yeah, but now I'm really stuck. So, oh no.
So it's a puzzle game, but every puzzle is, can I make that?
Exactly. I think I can make that. Yeah. Yes.
also, and in real life, the answer is always no. No, you can't make that.
Stay home. Stay home. It's not worth it. But the idea of like starting to see the world in terms of like, all right, here's a point that I can latch onto and pull myself to, and then I'll be close enough to latch onto this next point and pull myself to that. And so on and so forth. I realized a couple hours in, I am playing a slow motion Spider-Man game. That's what this is. This is Spider-Man web swinging just in slow motion with a giant 18-wheeler.
Also sounds incredibly cool to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with my brain that makes this just sound like the most amazing thing. Yeah,
it sounds like a simulator.
It's a really good time. And yeah, like you kind of learn tricks like, you know, if you're pulling a trailer, you can attach the winch both to objects in the world and to different points on your truck. And so sometimes the right thing to do is to like attach the winch to the back of the trailer and then attach that to something that's next to your truck and like almost push yourself forward with the trailer and all this stuff. So like it's fun to just kind of work that out. You get very familiar with the roads you're driving on. So both the areas I've been in so far have kind of a big main artery road that's fairly well paved. Like it still has rough spots, but it's prominent enough to follow easily. Mm-hmm. And then everything shoots off of that and just gets worse and muddier and less clear as you go. But you drive up and down that main road pretty much every mission, but every time it's fun to just kind of get through each section or be like, oh yeah, this was icy. Okay. I better slow down. Like this corner I know, is super muddy. So I'm actually going to go off the road into the grass on the side. Cause I know if I stay on the road, I'm going to suddenly, be stuck and spend 5 minutes hauling myself out. And that's the penalty for failure, right? Like you very rarely are you so stuck that you can't continue forward. You're just like, well, I wasn't paying enough attention and I'm now going to have to get out of here, very slowly over the next couple minutes. So if I had one wish for the game, it would be the opportunity to put everything into 2x speed. Fast forward time, because there are points where it's like, all right, I'm going to get up this hill with this winch. Like I've everything's lining up. It's just taking a while. Like I have to be in the lowest gear. I have to, I'm sliding a lot, but I know I will get up it eventually. So can I just do this at 2x speed for a period of time? That would be nice. That would smooth things a bit. So that's the one gripe though. And even then it's a small one, because if you're playing for Zen, sometimes the like, all right, it's going to take a while to do this, but I'll just space out and think about something else while I pull myself up this hill. Like, it doesn't feel like a punishment.
Yeah. I'll listen to this podcast or I'll respond to chat or anything like that. Yeah,
exactly. And the one other thing that I really appreciated was that every upgrade in the game feels, very impactful, at least so far. So, you start out with just like a highway truck, a pickup truck, and then a flatbed truck that's spec'd for highway driving. And so you slip and slide anytime you're not on perfect road. And as you do jobs, you get reputation, which gives you access to more unlocks, and then you get money to buy those unlocks as you see. The reputation is the limiting factor. I've never unlocked something with reputation and not been able to unlock it with money. So it's kind of weird. Like, why is there a two currency system going on here? That it's odd. Mm-hmm. But every time you upgrade, like just putting mud tires on your truck, and suddenly it's like, holy hell, I can drive anywhere now. Like, this is great. I'm going fast. I never had to do this road going fast before. That's interesting.
Why did I ever think I could get away with butter tires? Yeah. They're tires made of butter.
These tires suck. Yes. And that expands your world. Or like, I'll never forget. Like I raised the suspension on my pickup truck. It was like, hell yeah, I'm a badass now. No more getting stuck in snow. Went out and promptly rolled it. I was like, oh,
I got stuck in this overpass. Shit.
That's what a higher suspension does. It raises your center of gravity. That should have seen that one coming. But yeah, so everything like that, you can put a snorkel on your engine, which I didn't know was a thing, but then suddenly it's like big pools of water I'm going towards, not away from. Sweet. Yeah. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, every upgrade I've bought so far just makes the play feel very different, and it is very empowering to feel like this road that took me 5 minutes the first time I went down it now takes me about 30 seconds just because I'm kitted out properly. But with that though, the missions, you're carrying progressively larger loads into more dangerous places. So yeah. There's always a new challenge in front of you, but the challenge is not just we made the bad guy numbers to go up to match your good guy numbers.
That's good.
Which I feel like a lot of games do for difficulty now. So refreshing to see one that the difficulty is constantly new challenges based on your stronger position.
Yeah.
Yeah, so SnowRunner, it's a lot of fun. I've it's a dangerous game to play right before you go to bed because you look up and it's been 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Sun's coming up and you're like, oh well, I sure got a lot done, but there's always a car stuck over the horizon.
Yeah.
That means rescuing.
Well, you've done an effective job of selling this, and by selling this, I mean I would not have a chance to play it for a month, but
buy it with your time when you have enough of that saved up.
Yes. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So that's the big new one I've been playing. And like I said, I would love Salt to put on the roads, mm-hmm. but that is the only Salt I have about this game.
Yeah. Well, if somebody salted the roads, he'd be out of a job. So
this is true. This is true.
Nice.
All right. I want to go next because I feel like this is a good segue. So SnowRunner is a game that I've been memeing with some of my friends in Discord channel from Cincinnati for like a couple months now. They also made a game called MudRunner before this that you can buy for like $4 on Steam. And I wasn't going to mention it, but I actually played it this last week. admittedly, was like 2 to 3 beers deep when I fired it up. Could not make it past the tutorial. There's a tutorial.
Butter tires.
Yeah, you winch your way towards a tree, and then you're supposed to drive on the road, and it was just not happening. You're in a pool of mud, and I tried like changing all the gears that I could. I tried winching all the different points that I could.
Uh-huh.
Was not coming together. So yeah. Anyway, we also make fun of the fact that in the publicity material that they have for this, the only review that it has that's 10 out of 10 is from Thumb Culture. So that's like, that's the magazine that gets it and that knows that SnowRunner's the best. Anyway, that I wasn't planning on talking about that. That's just funny that that happened. Okay, the only ones that I do have, I just have two small ones. One, Elden Ring. I went to a few places that I hadn't been to. I went back to Chapel of Anticipation, which is where you start the game and get killed, which I had forgotten about that entire bit.
The Grafted Scion.
So you didn't live up to anticipation.
Well, I mean, the way that I think of it is I went back there and there wasn't really much there. So it was kind of like
it's so tiny. Like there's nothing after you beat the Grafted Scion. It's just a cliff you have to fall off of and die.
Yep. So not, yeah. So weird. There was a lot of anticipation, but then there wasn't much there. So
yeah.
I don't know. Chapel of Deflation, maybe. I don't know. But other than that, I haven't really done too much. Haven't respec'd or anything. I've gone back to the wiki a few times to kind of look at possible builds to make, but nothing's really grabbed my attention. So I'm still kind of waiting, I guess, to find a build that I'm really interested in before going through farming for things and starting a new run and then trying to go for that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the other one that I have to talk about that's a small one is I've been playing a decent amount of Monster Train over the past week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's one that I played a while ago. I'm not sure how long ago. It's like similar to Slay the Spire, except you're on a train that's going through the seven circles of hell, and there's like upgrade systems and stuff. Yeah.
Wait, the hell downsized? There's only seven now?
That's all it's been, right? Or were there nine?
I thought it was nine circles. Yeah.
All right. So maybe it's nine then. But anyway, functionally, it's very similar to like Slay the Spire. The only difference, instead of like three maps that you traverse with a bunch of tiny battles, it's like nine battles with three levels, and the monsters kind of progress up the levels. So it's similar in size, but it's just broken down differently.
Yeah.
But the main news is that I beat the last ascension of it. They have an ascension system similar to Slay the Spire.
Yeah, goes up to 25.
Yeah, exactly. And
one-upping Slay the Spire. Oh, you got 20? That's cute.
Well, I mean, I think the downside is I don't think the strategies are deep in this game as they are in Slay the Spire. So, like, for instance, the last one that I beat it on, the 25th ascension, was just this, like, really dumb morsel strategy where it's like, just get this one unit and feed them like every turn that you can, and then you win the game, kind of. So it was a little bit disappointing in that sense. However, in the last like 8 or 9 times that I beat it in the past week, there were a couple builds that were really awesome synergies. I'll describe one briefly. Hopefully it doesn't get too inside baseball. But there's a unit where when he gets killed, he makes all the other units go stealth, so no one can target them. There's a unit that will root all the enemies that you're fighting on a level, meaning that they won't advance to a next level, but they'll all stay there. So it's just kind of like punting your battles, because now you have like 9 people attacking you before you can attack them. Mm. So it's kind of like, it's like high risk, high reward sort of thing. And then just like a unit in the back where every time a unit dies on the floor, they get +3/+3 like health and attack.
Yeah.
And so I made a strategy where I kept resummoning the thing that dies and gives you stealth every turn. So he was making those people untargetable. And then eventually those people would kill all the people that were trapped on the floor. The rooting person eventually got an ability where you could sweep across, so they attack everyone. And so then as people die on the floor, it buffs the person in the back, and they basically take out anyone that's big that's left over after the first person's attack. And so anyway, you just run this loop over and over again, and you just get a squad that can't be targeted at all, and scales with the number of people you die, and eventually get really big and can attack people. So it was like a sweet like 3-piece combo that I had never like considered before and just happened to discover. And that felt kind of, I mean, I guess you can do similar things in Slay the Spire, but in this one, it felt more like you can kind of work towards it a little bit more easily than in Slay the Spire. Like, Slay the Spire feels kind of like completely random, where it's like you may or may not see entire like enchantments, yeah, or you may or may not see like certain units at all on a run through.
Yeah. Well, and the big thing in Slay the Spire with those, you know, small combos is oftentimes it's difficult to get all the crap out of your deck. So does Monster True. Train have as much of a, or is it as difficult in Monster Train to cull the weak stuff out of your deck?
No, you can definitely do it better in Monster Train. The reason why is basically the gameplay of it is there's a battle, and then there's basically a set of rewards, and then a battle, then a set of rewards, and the set of rewards grow and grow each time. So you might get like 2 things the first time that are like tiny rewards, and by the last time you might get like 4 decently substantial rewards. But the thing with the reward screen is it's basically a left track and a right track, and you pick which direction to go. And so some of the rewards might be removing 2 cards from your deck. Some of them might be buying like a unit upgrade or buying a spell upgrade. And so, like, for example, if the goal is to like really call out a lot of the dead cards in your deck, you can do that by picking the specific tracks like each time. And so by the end, you can get to a very pointed deck if you just want like, you know, X cards to work with. So you can definitely make that happen, I think, more easily in Slay the Spire than Monster Train than Slay the Spire. But yeah, so I think that answered your question. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the one nice thing is after you beat Ascension 25, they have a nice credits scene where they like it had a photo of the main game developer, and then it had like artwork next to the other people, but it was kind of cute. So yeah, anyway, that's a weird game that I hadn't played in a while, but I was happy to have gotten that aspect of it done, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is a game that's preventing me from going back to Magic, so I appreciate it in that sense.
Yeah. Man, I loved Monster Train when I played it, and I put it down after we did it for WoF, and I have not picked it up again. It is on Switch now, which makes it a little bit more accessible. I think that's the complete one too with the DLC. But
yeah, there's a race in the DLC. I haven't played with him yet, so that is a blind spot for me.
Yeah,
but yeah, so that's all I got really. So.
Cool, Mudrunner, Elden Ring, and Monster Train.
Yeah. Yep. Mudrunner.
I made a note of it because it's there. Yeah. And I wish I had something, but I don't. So
Yahtzee.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you ask the nice people?
Yeah, time to give the sidekicks their time in the spotlight. So what video game sidekick or supporting character would you want to have as your sidekick in real life? How would you utilize their abilities, or would you just hang out?
Yeah. And I'll get started with Greg, who says, honestly, I think I'd be pretty happy having Luigi as a real life friend. He doesn't have the ego that Mario has great cooking skills, can jump really high so he could help you get to high places, doesn't use much obscure Italian slang, and wouldn't take up much space sharing an apartment because he is slimmer. Which does beg the question, he eats as much as his brother. How does he do it? Oh, metabolism is a personal thing. Everybody's body chemistry is different.
What I want to know is okay, so Luigi can jump high. What are you trying to climb on, Greg?
Well,
Yeah, good question.
Maybe you can just utilize his top shells better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because all of this is positive, I do have to throw in the negative side. He's such a scaredy cat. I think that he would be really insecure, you know, and you'd kind of always have to be reassuring him is the thing.
Mm-hmm. Always turns on a flashlight at night.
Well, he would break through the ceiling and then you'd have like lose your security deposit on your apartment if you're trying to use him to jump high in your apartment. So what are you doing? Skyrimming it? I mean,
he would go through the entire house busting stuff up with bursts of air from his weird vacuum and then trying to vacuum up all the coins that I have. Hey, Greg, you really messed up here.
No, I'm not trying to do that kind of a thing. But yeah, there are some downsides to Luigi, I would think.
Well, he's going to be super insecure because his brother is more famous, and that's going to cause lots of conflict.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like taking in a stray animal where he's trying to ease the anxieties of Luigi. It's like a rehabilitation situation.
Trying to get him socialized. Yeah. Hey, Ben,
Luigi's mansion a kill shelter?
I got sad thinking of kill shelters.
Oh, no.
Hey, Ben, what does Chris say?
Christopher gives a very good answer that I think is going to be hard to beat for me, but it's Kim Kitsuragi from Disco Elysium. There is no other answer.
I got to agree, Chris. Kim was going to be my answer, but then I immediately scrolled down and I was like, oh, yeah, no, somebody absolutely claimed Kim. Yeah, he's competent. He's reserved. Both of those are good.
And you desperately want to win over his approval.
Yeah. You know, I'm not as much of a fuck up as the main character of Disco Elysium. So.
Standards are going to, comparisons are going to be low.
True. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. At least I didn't forget who I was. let's see here. Jala, what does Alex say?
Alex says, I would like 9S to follow me around making delightfully naive comments. I could grunt noncommittally from time to time and it would be great.
Yeah. It's from Nier Automata.
Yeah, you could refuse to call him Nines.
Oh, he's a little competent guy too. Just a good kid. Huh. At least I think he's a kid.
Well, he wears robots, shorts,
so that's usually coded as being a kid.
At least he's in pants. My God.
Oh man, Dennis, what does Case say?
Case says BD-1, the robot companion from Jedi Fallen Order, is my choice. Good mix of support functions while also being cute. Yeah, he rides on your shoulder like a parrot.
Yeah, you know, he does AR stuff. It'd be cool to have AR stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Showing me a good map. I mean, I don't usually leave the house very much, but
you get to have a map. Think of how much time you waste opening your phone to look at Google Maps.
Like, yeah. I do always have to search for it because I don't keep it on the front page. Mm. Yeah. Callum says, I do like how delightfully sarcastic Crank is. Helicopter backpack is just a bonus.
Oh, that's Clank.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There we go. Clank. Yeah.
A little typo there.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And you know what? I didn't even think twice about it. I normally correct those on the fly. But Clank, the sarcasm would be fun. You know, somebody to goof around with. I don't know about like having something that can at will produce very fast spinning blades. I just listened to a podcast about the shooting of the Twilight Zone movie and woof.
Oh yeah.
That's a movie where famously people on set died because of a helicopter.
Oh no,
it's actually a horrible tragedy. I'm legit scared of helicopter blades, so
yeah. Not great. You don't want an Indiana Jones villain it.
No. Or boss of Siphon Filter 2 it.
Damn. That's gonna be fun.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in front of you there, bud. That's weird. Two people thought about Siphon Filter in a week. Oh my gosh. And Ben, what does Ricky say?
Ricky says, bear with me here, Navi from Ocarina of Time.
Wait a minute.
I think it would be nice to have someone around who's constantly pointing out all the important stuff around me and reminding me that there's all sorts of stuff I could do. Hey, listen, there's a water park just off the highway there and your son would love to go to. hey, listen, that restaurant has the best croquettes in the city. We're all slowly dying faster. Great sentence, by the way. And having a Navi around could help us stay in the present, in the moment, and ensure we live our fullest lives possible.
Hmm. There has to be a less interruptive way to have that happen. Maybe it'd be less, it might be less bothersome outside of a game where it's not a text, you know, like a text prompt coming up. Like, mm-hmm. I can continue doing other stuff while Navi points stuff out.
So I point to how frustrated I get when Alexa talks and I don't want her to.
Yes.
She suddenly goes off in the room and it's like, why, what? No.
Yeah.
But this isn't right.
You know, it's not something you want to do with a friend, but if you tell Navi just like, hey, can you can it for the next hour?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't have a sensitivity dial on Navi, then this could really backfire on you.
Yeah. you need Navi. Like, basically I would like Navi to act as like the app Waze does. You know, like, hey, listen, speed trap 4 miles ahead.
Yes.
Yeah. I honestly don't have a better answer than Kim, at least one that I feel as much as I do. Like, maybe I could say something like Solaire or maybe Mort. I don't know, but Mort's a little bit, he's got a little bit too much of access to him. I think Mort would actually be tiresome in person. I'm going to digress and just agree with Chris on Kim. Ben, how about you?
I like the Solaire answer. I feel like it would start to get uncomfortable after a while because you couldn't tell if he was in love with you or not. And then
true.
I think, so I don't know if this is a great answer or not, but this would at least make life interesting, is HK-47 from Coder, having him as a side leader.
He'd always be trying to kill you.
Or other people. And so there's always kind of a baseline anxiety of getting him to not do that. But otherwise, it could be kind of funny and enjoyable.
Ben, I learned a lot about you today.
I mean, if you want to make life more interesting, I'm just saying, you know, that'll do it.
This is true.
Jala, how about you?
I would say Yogurt from Shining Force.
Okay.
He's a talking hamster with a helmet and a sword, and we would just hang out and have adventures with Boken, who is this, his name, Boken's name means adventure, and he is just a wandering dude, like an NPC that just shows up in every town. Like, you go to a town that's on a mountain and he's climbing the mountain and stuff. And then Yogurt's kind of the same way. Like, you see him behind a house and he's just hanging out back there, and then he pops up somewhere else, and then he randomly joins your force, and he's totally ineffective as a fighter, but he's a cute hamster in a helmet with a sword. And
nobody wants to tell him he's not up to par.
That's you get a mascot.
One time I tried to power level him. He only does one damage. And I was like doing my best to keep him alive and get him to level up. And I leveled him up and he never got to a promotion class. I was trying to see if he could do that. I was very sad. I was hoping that like he would hit the promotion class and then just be so badass that he would just destroy everybody. You know, that's what I was hoping. Situation. Yeah, that's what I was hoping. I was hoping it was going to be a Magikarp kind of thing, but it was not, sadly. But Yogurt is still near and dear to my heart.
That's good to have a mascot.
Yes.
Yeah. And Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, I think I would go with Sully from Uncharted.
Oh yeah.
So like a bit more wizened, but always has a good story, always good for a good time. I feel like he would get you into a lot of fun places, and just be a really interesting conversationalist. So
the kind of story that Uncharted has makes me think this is going to be ridiculous. He seems reliable. Does he betray? He betrays you at some point, right?
No, they literally pipe in a brother for Nathan Drake out of nowhere to have a betrayer.
Gotcha.
Sully is impeccable? Impeccable.
Unimpeachable. Yeah.
Unimpeachable. Yeah. And impeccable. And unassailable, but salient? I don't know.
You'd have to make him smoke outside, though.
Yeah, that's well, there is that. Yeah. And if you got the live action version, you could hang out with Mark Wahlberg, which is a weird choice, but also Mark Wahlberg seems cool.
I don't want to ruin Mark Wahlberg for you.
Yeah.
There's some hate crimes in the past there.
Maybe you get some free hamburgers with that situation. Right, so
definitely a video game Sully situation then.
Yes. Yeah. What would you say, Ben? I'm sorry.
I said, maybe you could get some free hamburgers out of the situation.
Yeah. That sauce seems okay. Ugh. Man, this is the episode full of just like low-key bummers. I'm sorry to.
Yeah.
welcome to the world.
Yeah.
Seeping into the podcast.
Blah. Well, good question. Thank you for posting it, Dennis. Thank you, everybody, for responding as thoughtfully as you have. If you would like to participate in these in the future, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are exciting in the world of video games. Jala, I'm going to go to you first because you posted this here first. What's happening in the world of remasters?
So there's probably a GoldenEye HD remaster that will probably be announced on June 14th as achievements are viewable on Xbox's website. The best indication that it is set for release on Xbox One and Xbox Series X/S is basically like just due to what the achievements are, current systems, that kind of thing. Basically, the employees of the original devs, Rare, had progress of an HD port tracked online at some point in time way back in the day, but an attempt to port it to Xbox 360 failed because of some legal stuff. And theoretically, at least, it's looking like Microsoft may have gotten through all the legal red tape to be able to publish it, because those achievos were posted pretty publicly where people can see them. So yeah. The end. That's it.
Nice.
That's the story.
Yeah. I'd be curious. I don't. That game seems so designed around its limitations, specifically control wise. It'd be real weird to play that with a modern anything.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, we'll see. That'll make some people pretty happy. You know, people clamor for it. And everybody wants to play as a digital Alan Cumming. So.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I've got one here. So this is an exciting thing that I just saw today. We like to talk about labor stories here on occasion. A GameStop at the Gateway Mall in Lincoln, Nebraska is now without staff, or at least mostly without staff. This is because on one shift, a bunch of people there quit. I don't know if it was the entire team. Over the weekend it was closed after four employees decided to walk out and never return after what they say are bad working conditions. This is a mall store, so it was posted up on the inside doors. There was a notice saying, "We regret to inform you that we all quit. Our district manager has no respect for us as employees or as human beings. We have been told by our district manager that we were supposed to have had this store achieving sales quotas and running perfectly 6 months ago, which was 3 months before a lot of us even got hired."
That tells you something about the churn.
Yeah. The churn at GameStop is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Unfortunately, despite the staff's best efforts, we are not God. And then they post the addresses of several other stores, local game stores, even one in that same mall, and said, "Spend your money at an establishment that respects its employees. Sincerely, former GameStop team." I have not worked at a GameStop in over 10 years, but I worked at one for 8 years before that. And boy, oh boy, does all of this still ring true. There's lots of bullshit that comes down, even from the just the district manager level, beyond just the managers that you have to deal with day in, day out, which can be a little bit of a crapshoot sometimes. All of this is happening. Belts are tightening there, in spite of the fact that since the GameStop stock reached meme status, the executives are getting ridiculously rich. There's a lot of investment in this, and even though that is fleeting and not actually based on anything, it's a bubble, it's a little bit galling to see that they are still treating employees like crap, having them push things like protection plans, push things like the power car, the Game Informer car that they have, things like that, and also understaffed as regards hours. This has caused a whole bunch of stories to come out, other people saying like, hey, here's my horror story, including a story from one person ridiculously like back when GameStop bought EB, and this manager, she was like, hey, can you guys put in security cameras? Like, you make us work alone all the time, it'd be nice to have cameras. They said no, they didn't give cameras, and then that manager unfortunately was murdered during a robbery.
Crap.
Yeah, so this would have been back around like 2003, 2004. Terrible company. I enjoyed my time with the people that I was with there, that I worked with, but everything from above the store level was ridiculous, and you love to see it. You love to see a principled, coordinated walkout, especially one as well publicized as this. I feel like I've gone on forever. I will see the floor.
It is kind of funny that they have like the bravado of Sony re-releasing Morbius without the effect of re-releasing Mobius hitting them. So.
Oh my god.
The listing other stores to go support is a class move. I like that.
Yes. Yeah. Just a big ups to that whole team. Good on them. Mm-hmm. Let's see, Ben. What did Sony do?
This is gonna be like a bias slice. Sony had the State of Play last week, which is I guess their E3, since E3 is not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
So they just made a bunch of announcements of games coming out. I only wanted to talk about two of them that I was particularly excited about. Stray, the cat cyberpunk game, is coming out in July. They gave a release date for that, and I think an additional trailer for it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be good, maybe not. Who knows? But it looks kind of interesting.
Say the one thing that sold me on that trailer immediately?
Sure.
So you're a cat in what looks like just a world full of robots, and the moment that I was like, oh, amazing, was the cat just kind of walks out an alley that a robot is at the end of, and you see the robot like freeze and then start to back up panicking and then like push an alarm button and run away. So I love the implication that like cats are these creatures of terror in this world. So finally being treated as they should.
I was gonna say they're creatures of terror in this world right now.
The one in my house just pissed on a bed right in front of me. They do not
made eye walls. Contact while doing it.
Yeah.
Do you have an alarm you can punch and run away?
The other one I want to talk about that came out of left field for me, at least, is they're doing a Resident Evil 4 remake, and mm-hmm. it looks sweet, and hopefully don't fuck it up. But
I'm reserving any judgment at all. I need to see concrete details before I jump to any conclusions.
Yeah. They have a trailer for it. It's coming out March of next year. I think some people on the internet put some like side-by-side comparisons of like screenshots from the original versus the updated ones. I guess the big question mark is like how closely they're going to follow the original one versus this one.
Yeah.
Will anything be like shot-for-shot remakes, or will it just be like a spiritual successor? The vibe I got from the trailer is it seems like it might not be as campy. Like the horror there might be trying to take more seriously and make it actually like scary or whatever. But if they don't like have like Salazar, or wait, which one's the tiny dude, Napoleon guy?
Salazar.
Yeah. If they don't have him at the same camp levels, I think that'll be a missed opportunity.
Agreed. Yeah.
I think they've earned, I don't know if it was the same team, but they've earned our good faith with how well they did with the remake of 2.
Yeah, 2 and 3, those remakes were really good. I think that something that distinguished those was how, you know, playing 2 and 3 nowadays is a bit of a rough shake, seeing as Resident Evil 4 kind of created the modern third-person shooter to a degree. You know, it shares creation with something mm-hmm. like, you know, Gears, right? But over the shoulder third person shooter kind of deals. I think that makes it a bit of a rougher putt. Also, I think that RE4 is way more beloved universally than 2 and 3 are. So mm-hmm. I think that the changes that they are going to make, and they have talked about like re-envisioning the story, I think that it's going to be a little bit more of a dicey proposition. But like from an outright quality standpoint, I think that Capcom has earned trust. It's just a matter of like, have they set themselves up for a task that is going to be by its very nature thankless.
It's definitely, it looks, just from the little bit of trailer that they did post, it looks like they're going more in the RE8 style, you know, where it's like that mixture of horror, but kind of like, I don't know, it seems more theme parky, more RE8 style than it does anything else.
Yeah.
So
it's super hard to tell from a trailer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Just from the way that it's shot and all of that, it just looks like that kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No clue, but that was a big event. I forgot that happened in between. Sometimes it's hard to remember what happens over the course of a week.
Yeah. I started streaming this with my kids in the room, and they opened up on Resident Evil. I was like, oh, I just remembered you guys need to go do something else.
Yeah. Your children. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the littles, maybe not.
And wrapping up here, Dennis, what's wholesome?
Yeah. So we just talked about a event that happened coming up. Is the third, I think, annual Wholesome Direct. So this is happening on June 11th, so very shortly after this episode goes up. And for 3 years now, they have been curating games that are uplifting, compassionate, and cozy. It's just from a conference that I could not have my kids in the room for, to one that is like all games that they would be able to deeply appreciate and that you might appreciate as well if you just want something cozy to play.
Yeah.
I love that this exists. And they make it very clear on their website, like, we are not saying that you should be wholesome if you don't want to be. Like, wholesome is sometimes kind of a loaded word or a memed word. So like they really focus on that. Hey, you know, uplifting, compassionate, and cozy is what we mean by that. Not that, you know, you can't enjoy violent games, not that we don't enjoy violent games from time to time, or, you know, dark games or whatever, but this is just a place to have those good feels, and that coziness all in one place.
Yeah.
Which I'm on board with, but then I started reading the game names. And I have to admit, some of these started getting to me. You can only read so many names, like Snufkin, Melody of Moomin Valley, or Puff Pals, Island Skies, before you just start to grate your teeth. And you're like, all right, I need to see something ripped off of a body.
I need to go play Doom.
Definitely need to cleanse the palate after so much sweetness.
Yeah.
But in general, like, it's a bunch of good smaller games, which I'm always happy to see promoted. And it's games that I know I'll be able to play with my kids, which I'm happy about. So June 11th, check it out.
They're going to be showing Terra Nil, that game that's about, it's like the building game in reverse where you're restoring the environment. That's cool. Mm-hmm. There's a demo out for that. I didn't realize there was a demo for that.
Oh, nice. Neat. Yeah, that's Devolver Digital. That's like a big name.
Yeah.
That's Devolver Digital publishing it.
Yes. Yeah.
I should say.
They've got a pretty good track record. Mail Time. Mail Time looks fun. You play as a little mushroom man.
Yeah. Aww.
Delivering the mail. Fun. A little bit of sugar goes a long way, but I think that it's good that there is this kind of niche, this niche event to highlight this. I'm not against it.
So that's my Cole style, a thing is happening story.
A thing is happening soon. It's, I really enjoy the distributed E3 that we end up having, where stuff is given a little bit of room to breathe. Some of those days where, like, if you're following streams, you're going from Ubisoft to Microsoft to, maybe Square in one day. That's quite a bit. That's a bit much.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like it's a pendulum. Like, shaking up the format is what's healthy and makes things feel fresh.
Yeah.
And eventually we'll get to a point of distribution that it's just like, okay, there's something for everything now. There's too many events and we want it consolidated. But for now, it feels like it's in a really good place.
Yeah. Different seasons is what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. That's all of us with stories. How do we feel about buttoning it up?
We feel buttons.
The credit.
Thank you so much for listening to this level number 417. We appreciate it. Trying to think of admin stuff. Dennis, does the show go until Sunday or is it just Saturday and you're out?
It goes till Sunday, but I am out on Saturday night. So gotcha. See me by close of show on Saturday, booth 637 in Exhibit Hall A.
Yeah. That's what is the name of the show? Like,
yeah. Oh, or Origins Game Fair.
Origins Game Fair. There we go. Cool. Go see him there. Jala, what's going on at Jala's place?
Jala Chan's place has an episode dropping same time as this episode. Well, same day anyway, Friday. Will be the Batman episode. So you can listen to me and John and Slade talk about that movie. It's a lot of fun.
Very cool. That is over at jalachan.place. Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got it in one. And for this show, you know what to do. We mentioned the Facebook for participating in multiplayer. You can leave a rating or review. That really does help us out. Go to Patreon, support the show, support the network, all of that kind of deal. And most of all, come back next week. We would love to have you. Is there anything I'm forgetting?
Mm-mm. No.
All right. I have been Cole Ross. You can find me on Twitter at Cole Ross.
I've been Dennis Furia. You can find me at Origins.
Yeah. I'm Jalachan in places, including jalachan.place.
And stick around for some titles.
Ben didn't even get to say he was Ben.
Okay. That's not the first time I've done that. Go ahead, Ben.
There's even a visual component now where you can see if people have said things.
Yeah.
I have nothing to promote. I've been Ben at Merkle Beat. Or no, I've just been Merkle.
I've been Ben at Merkle.
This is all falling apart. And now some I'm very sorry, Ben. And now some now some titles. Okay, so titles. I only have one that I wrote down. It was from the multiplayer, Slowly Dying Faster.
I have two, and okay. I put them in the little chat.
Oh,
so
you did?
That is Animals.
Yeah.
And Chapel of Deflation.
Nice. I had two as well. Chapel of Deflation was one of them.
Okay.
And then the other was Butter Tires.
I was thinking about writing down Butter Tires, but then I decided not to. So.
Oh, I'll take that swing for sure.
Yeah. Ben, what you got?
I just have, I need to go play Doom, but I like Butter Tires.
Okay. So Chapel of Deflation has the votes, but Butter Tire seems to have the enthusiasm.
Has our hearts. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Then let's make it Butter Tires. It is so moved.
Cool. Now we shall also move to bed.
I am. Yeah. I got to wake up early tomorrow. So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
good hanging out, guys.
Yeah. Wait, no, I'm going to stop recording. So, and then we can do our goodbyes off the air while it uploads. It's weird to do this time. I'm going to stop it now.